When my mom talked about menopause, she called it the change, and it was all very hush-hush, as if there was something wrong about something so natural. Thank goodness with mental health awareness and actual research, we're beginning to understand the huge role hormones play in women's bodies. Being postmenopausal has its challenges, but if you're going through either perimenopause or menopause, then I suggest you try Hormone Harmony. Why? Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about them. They help the body adapt to stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. This is SELFWORK, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At SELFWORK, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work. Now, what's the difference quickly between being a moody person and cyclothymia? The rule of thumb in mental health is, what kind of impact is it having on how you're living your life? If being moody only gets in your way a little, or if you can see it's tied with hormonal changes, or if it has a seasonal component, then it may not be able to earn the cyclothymia designation. Welcome to this week's edition of SELFWORK. Today we're going to focus on what's called cyclothymia. It's another one of those more unusual depression diagnoses like we covered last week with PMDD, and one that doesn't get much attention as its more dramatic cousins, bipolar 1 and bipolar 2, but it shares some of the characteristics of those cyclic disorders, hence the name cyclothymia. And I'm also going to touch on what can be confusing in mental health, the subjectivity of diagnoses. That problem is alive and well, and yet it's true of medical diagnoses as well. How often do I hear, or you hear, well, the first doctor thought it was this, but we got a second opinion and they couldn't have disagreed more. Mental illness is the same, and we're going to find that cyclothymia and all its cousins can be easily confused, and it somewhat depends on what your clinician is focusing on. In episode 395, I asked for any of you who might identify with perfectly hidden depression to write me confidentially and let me know of your story or exactly how you identify with PHD. Several of you had done just that, and I'm delighted. We're going to hear today from a guy who stayed silent about his depression for years, and in fact, being more open about it now, his college friends are shocked to find out he was struggling. This week's listener email, I'm going to talk to you about a song like Taylor Swift. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. A listener posted it in my closed Facebook group saying, this sounds like perfectly hidden depression. The link to the song will be in your show notes if you want to listen first, although I imagine many of you have already listened. Today, let's hear from BetterHelp, one of our really traditional sponsors and who does great work with their clients. BetterHelp has long been a sponsor of SELFWORK and a great one. And of the several online therapies out there, they by far have the most highly rated. In fact, I looked it up to make sure. And Forbes has BetterHelp rated more highly over both Talkspace and online therapy, the other major online providers. Now, you might be asking yourself, so why would any good clinician want to work for an online service? Let me tell you. Those clinicians don't have to take care of all the business details, the paperwork, the insurance filing, the scheduling service, none of it. I myself have been approached by BetterHelp several times to join their network. And when I saw the benefits, frankly, if I hadn't already had too much on my plate, I would have joined. You can communicate through text, chat, video, or phone, whatever is most convenient and works for you. And the number one problem that so many people face when considering therapy, that problem is taken care of for you. What is it? How do I find someone? The BetterHelp website asks you questions, you answer them, and then they find a therapist that fits best for you in your area. If you have one session and don't get much out of it, all you have to do is let them know and the process starts over again. It's private, professional, convenient, and affordable. These are licensed professionals, someone who's put years into their training so that they can best help you. And so much of the hassle is taken care of for you. They now have 35,000 clinicians in their network, up from 25,000. So now is your time to choose BetterHelp. And if you use this link, betterhelp.com/selfwork, you'll get 10% off your first month of sessions. It's betterhelp.com/selfwork. I promise you, good therapy helps. I know. I've been there. It helped me, and it can help you. Lots of you are messaging me through SpeakPipe, email, Instagram, my Facebook group, and I welcome all of you. This past month, I heard from a guy, let's call him Dave. Here are parts of Dave's message, which he gave me permission to use. In your latest podcast episode, 395, you ask us to email you if we had experience with perfectly hidden depression. I've been diagnosed with cyclothymia, aka bipolar's little brother, or bipolar 3 or 2.5 or whatever. It's also the one nobody has heard of. So while I've had depression cycles over the last several decades, they weren't as debilitating as what you hear about with bipolar 1 or 2, but just because they weren't as deep or as visible doesn't mean that they didn't hurt my life. I was diagnosed in 2010. I got medicated, which helped me almost immediately, even though we'd have to later tweak a few dosages. I know that if I had not gotten the diagnosis and medication, I wouldn't still be married today. I talk about my mental illness with my closest friends from college now, more than 25 years out, and they had no idea that I struggled. In college, I kept it hidden. I was young. I wasn't diagnosed. I didn't even know what mental illness was. And even if I did, I would have felt that there would be prejudice against revealing it. I'll never know if that was true. I don't know if this is what you were looking for, but it felt good to write it on this end. One last note, and I love this. Once my kids are out of high school, I'm planning to go back and get an MA in counseling and become a therapist. That was great. He also said he wanted to do that for the same reasons I became a psychologist. He's gotten help, so he wanted to offer help. First, let's focus on Dave's experience. He says, I didn't even know what mental illness was. And so he didn't talk about how he felt or maybe didn't feel. He didn't have a name for anything. Even his closest friends had no idea that he was struggling. Those words more than concern me, they scare me. Because I know that many people out there are struggling, you may be one of them, and not knowing what to call that struggle. Or even more damaging, if you or they call it anything, instead believing there's just something wrong with me. I'm to blame for not cutting it or feeling overwhelmed or having to hide that overwhelm. It's hard to imagine that something mental is happening, something mental and emotional. I think it's because it's our minds and we think of our minds as ourselves. So how could something be going on with my mind that I'm not aware of? I want to focus today a bit on men and how much men are still not encouraging one another to talk about what's really going on. I'm acutely aware that the men I talk to have at least come into therapy, unless they're friends of mine. There are so many men and some women who would be one of those people I talk about in the intro who wouldn't darken the door of a therapist. I had an interesting thing happen early this year, and this may not seem like I'm on the topic, but it'll come around, I promise. I'd been recommended as a speaker to another state's construction conference. I think some of you know that I've been talking a lot to construction workers because they have a very high rate of suicide. But there was a big difference between when I'd spoken here in Arkansas, where the topic of depression and hidden depression had really resonated with the audience. At the Arkansas conference, the man who gave me my intro to a room 95% filled with construction guys talked about how important my message about perfectly hidden depression was and how he'd been moved by it. In the other state, which will remain nameless, the guy who introduced me said my name and sat down. It was just, "This is Dr. Margaret Rutherford. She's here to talk about depression." And he sat down. Now, there were other things that made my talk not so great that day, and very much some of it was mine to claim. But instead of the resounding success the talk was in Arkansas, in the other state, I think it fell kind of flat. And a huge part of that, I think, was that those guys weren't given permission. They weren't encouraged to really listen by another guy that they respected. They weren't supported in the idea that they could maybe open themselves up to their feelings about some of their own friends they'd known who'd kill themselves. I know I live in a rural southern state, and if I were on a coast or if I lived on the coast, perhaps this would be different. I think there's just more openness in those areas of the United States, and there are other areas of the world where there's more openness. But there's a lot of the USA that's not on the coast. And frankly, Dave's story is so important for you to hear. No, Dave didn't kill himself, but he bore what was going on with him alone. But it hurt him. Not only hurt him, it hurt his marriage. And my friends, I want to say, many more men than women kill themselves. It's a fact. So now, let's talk about cyclothymia. First, what is it? It's been mostly called the less dramatic or troublesome version of bipolar 2, which is a step lower on the destructive or pathological side than bipolar 1. You can think of it as bipolar being the most destructive, with its highs and lows really way out of normal experience. Someone with bipolar 1 might, when ramped up with incredible energy, they might believe they're superhuman or even a holy person. They might be giving away or spending money they don't have. They could be hearing voices. That's when it can become what's called psychotic, those voices telling them to do certain things. The lows are just as bad. You're convinced that you're the worst of human beings. You may even be suicidal. You may simply sit in a chair and stare. It varies. Then there's bipolar 2, whose swings are more from hypomanic, a little less dramatic or intense than true mania, to depressed. But again, the depression is not so severe. If you think of it in a weight analogy, it would be like bipolar 1 is dealing with 25-pound weights that you're trying to manage and not allow to govern your emotions, but they do. And then there's bipolar 2, which is maybe a 5 or a 10-pound weight, where, again, you're being influenced by being hypomanic or somewhat depressed, but it's more manageable. Okay, then there's cyclothymia, or bipolar 3, as some call it. What's required for this diagnosis, again, are mood swings, but they don't interrupt your life as much as bipolar 1 or 2, either your personal life or your professional life. Now, they can still cause problems, but those problems are a bit more subtle. So actually, it can be harder to determine. What you want to see is if there's an ebb and a flow. If you can say, you know, gosh, the beginning of the week, I'm always really up. Or one week I'm up and one week I'm down. Or on the weekends I'm up and then I dread the week and I start going really down, down, down. That could be cyclothymia. All couples go through times when they feel what I call out of sync. You're seeming to be in one space and your partner is in another. It's normal. But how do you get back in sync? The newest sponsor of Self-Work, Paired, has an idea. It's an app for couples who want to strengthen their relationship, and it's founded on the simple belief that real love takes practice and a little bit of time. This is how it works. You and your partner both download the app. Then you pair together, and the app will take it from there. A few minutes a day that is focused on the two of you can make a world of difference. Whether you're just a few dates in or have been together a long time, find the time to connect with your partner and nourish your relationship. With the Paired app, it's easy and fun, and it only takes 5 minutes a day. Head to paired.com/selfwork to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to paired, P-A-I-R-E-D.com/selfwork. To sign up today. But I want to touch on how mental health diagnoses kind of can run together a bit. Before I started seeing someone as a patient who was herself in the health field, she sent me her diagnostic history. And here's what the doctor, whom she loved and respected, had diagnosed her with: a combination of cyclothymia bipolar type 2, generalized anxiety, and dysthymia depression. Okay, so what this doctor was saying is there definitely is a cycle I can see. He didn't know whether it was cyclothymia or bipolar type 2, meaning he couldn't tell how intense it was. There's also generalized anxiety, which is about worrying and actually even visualizing bad things happening. But then he throws in, or it could be dysthymia, mild depression. So what do you think about that? And what does it mean? To me, it sounds like this doctor wasn't real sure what kind of detriment these symptoms were having on my soon-to-be client's life. He saw a good bit of worry and anxiety again, and also more chronic depression that had been around for a long time. So often, even I will see someone for a first or second session, I'll diagnose them with something that I think is primary. Then I may say, rule out this, rule out dysthymia, rule out an eating disorder, rule out PTSD, because I can see that it can be other things too. Frankly, you're sort of admitting I'm not really sure what all could be going on, but let's start here. And in my book, this kind of uncertainty in going forward while keeping an open mind about exactly what it could be is actually very helpful. But it could be confusing to you. Now, a diagnosis is needed for insurance payment, but of course, the most beneficial thing about an accurate diagnosis is that it can guide you to what treatment might be most effective. It sounds as if Dave found out that not only was his diagnosis and subsequent medication choice helpful, his understanding and working through of those mood swings stopped whatever was going on in his marriage that was destructive. It helped both of them see that his mood swings had little to do with the marriage itself. And hopefully his wife could see that it wasn't her job to fix him. So here's some good news. If you recognize you have mood swings, then that doesn't mean you have bipolar disorder, which can sort of scare people. You can have a less serious but still important version of a cyclic disorder. You being aware of the existence of cyclothymia is thus really important. And I want to thank Dave for writing and making us more aware. This topic is just not very discussed. So bravo to Dave. Now, what's the difference quickly between being a moody person and cyclothymia? Again, the rule of thumb in mental health is, what kind of impact is it having on how you're living your life? If being moody only gets in your way a little, or if you can see it's tied with hormonal changes, or if it has a seasonal component, then it may not be able to earn the cyclothymia designation. But certainly was important for Dave. Now, Dave also wrote in he'd identified with perfectly hidden depression. I can see how this might happen because, again, of the more subtle character of cyclothymia, quote-unquote hiding it could have become easier. What Dave didn't say, did he realize once he wasn't hiding his depression that somehow the hiding had been protective? Not just from stigma, but was there hidden emotional pain that he didn't know how to work through or even express? That's the hallmark of perfectly hidden depression, not being able to express your painful emotion. Again, I'm writing a second book on perfectly hidden depression, and one of the points I make is that you can have this syndrome, you could have actually developed it, but also have other things going on. So Dave, I want to thank you again. I hope this discussion of cyclothymia has been helpful. Someone in my Facebook closed group sent the group this song and said that it reminded her of my work on perfectly hidden depression. I was eager to hear it, and I've listened several times. Now, it's a song by Taylor Swift, and I'm sure that those of you who are Swifties have listened hundreds of times. Let me read you the lyrics, or at least some of the lyrics. The song is called, "I Can Do It With a Broken Heart." Because I'm a real tough kid. I can handle my shit. They said, babe, you got to fake it till you make it. And I did. Lights, camera, bitch smile, and stilettos for miles. He said he'd love me for all time. But that time was quite short. Breaking down, I hit the floor. All the pieces of me shattered as the crowd was chanting, more. I was grinning like I'm winning. I was hitting my marks because I can do it with a broken heart. I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day. I'm so obsessed with him, but he avoids me like the plague. I cry a lot, but I'm so productive. It's an art. You know you're good when you could even do it with a broken heart. You know you're good when you can even do it with a broken heart. You know you're good. I'm good because I'm miserable and nobody even knows. Try and come from my job. Love these lyrics, by the way. Wow, Taylor Swift. Now, this is what AI had to say about this song. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart is a song by Taylor Swift from her 2024 album, The Tortured Poets Department, that some say is a pep talk to herself about performing while dealing with a breakup. The song is about Swift's need to hide her negative emotions while on tour with her fans, and some say it's deceptively upbeat. For example, in the song, Swift says, all the pieces of me shattered as the crowd was chanting more. However, Swift never spoke about the breakup on stage and even gave a thumbs up to a fan who asked if she was okay at one show. Well, of course she'd give a thumbs up to a fan. I mean, that was part of the facade, right? I think this has to do with a breakup that she had before she started dating Travis Kelce. Taylor Swift might obviously not followed my advice about let some time go by before you enter another relationship. But you know what? Taylor really doesn't have my number. So, oh, goodness. But okay, so let's ask ourselves, is this perfectly hidden depression? Not really. It's what's called compartmentalization. And what's that? It's a skill we all have, or perhaps some of us don't have, but it's a problem if you don't have it. Now, what is it again? It's the skill to have something happening and to not let the emotion that goes along with that thing govern you. You literally compartmentalize it. You stick it in a place in your consciousness where it's not front and center, a box, so to speak, and you do what you need or want to do with it there, but shoved away. Taylor compartmentalized her sorrow or anger or whatever she felt over her breakup and wouldn't let the crowd see the strong feelings she was dealing with. And she sounds a bit proud of the fact that she could do that, but she was also anguished all at the same time. Now, I know that Swifties hang on to every clue about what goes on with a singer in her private life, but I want to normalize this a little bit. We all do this all the time. It's a great song about compartmentalization, actually. You've probably done it, unless you're someone who really struggles to not allow your emotions completely run rampant over you. The fancy label for that problem is emotional dysregulation. You don't have, or at least demonstrate, the ability to control your emotions. Now, what is similar to perfectly hidden depression is that those who might identify with it use compartmentalization rigidly. It's their first and major defense or protection against anyone finding out that they're in emotional pain. And they could have learned how to do it as children so automatically that now it's a process or a skill that happens very quickly. Again, automatically. Here's another lyric. You know you're good, I'm good, because I'm miserable and nobody even knows. Sadly, for many children, and maybe for you growing up, that's exactly what was going on underneath the surface. And if it still is like that for you, please reach out to someone, to me, to one person you trust. Because whatever you're perfectly compartmentalizing can grow more potent back behind where it's supposedly hidden. And that can be really, really dangerous. Again, she says, because I'm miserable and nobody even knows. That's loneliness. So hopefully for Taylor Swift, there were some people there for her. She just had to get up and perform. By the way, Taylor, if you're listening, maybe you can write about perfectly hidden depression. That would be pretty awesome. I want to announce to all of you that my TEDx talk, How to Recognize Perfectly Hidden Depression, tipped over 1 million views. When I woke up Monday morning, it was 1 million. I have been tearful. I've been overwhelmed. I have been honored. I've been so grateful. So thank you. If you've listened or shared, I really, really appreciate it. My book, Perfectly Hidden Depression, How to Break Free from the Perfectionism That Masks Your Depression, is available in ebook, audiobook, or of course, paperback. It's now been translated into, I think, 9 different languages, maybe 10. I just heard from someone from Latvia that was publishing it in Latvian, or I would imagine that's the name of their language. I'm not sure. Please feel free to join me in that Facebook closed group I talked about at facebook.com/groups/selfwork. And I'm getting ready to really make a deeper dive into YouTube. Some of you who've actually watched the TEDx video have said, oh, I've been a listener to your podcast for so long, and it's nice to see you on film. I'll let you know when those are available. And let me know if there's a subject that you'd like me to cover on YouTube. You can email me at askdrmargaret@drmargaretrutherford.com. You can subscribe to my website, which is drmargaretrutherford.com, and you will get a weekly newsletter from me that has my most recent blog post as well as this episode. So it is the easiest way to keep in touch with what's going on with me. Thank you so, so very much for being here. Please take good care of yourself, your loved ones, and don't forget your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.